Hello and welcome to World of Podcast, your World of Warcraft podcast. This is Patch Release Show 1 for Patch 1.11. We're going to discuss some of the things I didn't discuss in my Test ROM show, and anything else that comes to mind as I do it. Let's get started, shall we? Unfortunately, I still haven't gotten a chance to check out the new Shaman talents because I haven't logged on my Shaman and checked them out. Sorry, Shaman players, I just haven't really been able to get on there. But with getting my new guild together and starting to run ZG and everything with them. But they're making good progress, so maybe that's a little consolation for you. Anyway, on to the mage talents. The Frost Tree has been really nicely buffed. There are some very nice talents in there. Some talents that were further down have been moved up. There's a really nice talent in there for getting extra crit chance, stuff like that. It really was buffed. The Fire Tree looks pretty cool, but I've never really been a big fan of the Fire Trees, so I'm probably still not going into it. A lot of mages, though, are still a little bit upset that they really can't do an all-elemental build, pardon me, in some cases, because a lot of mages still like Improved Counterspell, and in order to get to Improved Counterspell, you still have to go 17 points into the Arcane Tree. So we may not see as many elemental builds, as they're being called, show up, which would be 31 fire and 21 frost, or 31 frost and 21 fire. So we're going to have to see how that pans out, see what the mages are going to do with it. Overall, I like some of the changes that were made. I realized that when the initial changes came out, the mages were bitching up a storm. And this is because a lot of those changes were pretty shitty. They really were. Especially because what it ended up doing was putting anything that gave frost power into the Fire Tree for some ungodly reason, which just made no sense at all. So, thankfully, Blizzard listened and got to changing some of those talents so that a frost build is still pretty viable, even in PvP. I know a friend who did, I think he said he's 46 frost, 5 arcane, and he says for single damage, like single target damage, it is unmatched for him with his rank 11 frostbolt. It's not quite as good for AoE damage, but for single target damage, he says he can't beat it. So, we'll have to see. Shamans, on the other hand, are complaining a little bit about their review. Mainly because they saw that they got some PvP buffs, and many of the Shaman players who were really asking for this review to happen wanted more PvE buffs. They wanted to be brought more in line with how Paladins are in a raid situation where many Shaman feel like they are pretty useless. It's not entirely true that they're useless. There are some fights that are definitely easier with a Shaman than with a Paladin. Razor Gore comes to mind, and there's a couple others. Unless, of course, the Alliance uses the Razor Gore Divine Intervention exploit, which anyone who uses that should just really not play, because they don't know what the hell they're doing, if that's the only way they can beat Razor Gore. But, again, many Shaman players looked at this and said, great, you gave us some PvP buffs. We weren't asking for PvP buffs. We were asking for PvE buffs. They did get some PvE buffs, but apparently the Shaman players don't like it. I have to go check them out myself still and see if any of my Shaman players wish to send me any comments on the new tree builds or whatever and let me know how they feel the review went. They can send me their comments at UncleThursday@gmail.com. Or you can go to my forums. Easiest way is to go to my website, worldofpodcast.blogspot.com. Look at the right sidebar. Again, if you're using Internet Explorer, you may have to scroll down and click on the giant words, World of Podcast Forums. Go join them. It's free to join, free to talk, whatever. We've got about 19 members. Lots of topics actually popping up. So, hey, get involved. Show that you like the show. Show that you want to do stuff with the show. So there's your two ways, Shaman players. You can either put it on the forums or you can bring it to me in email. One or the other. Now, I mentioned the Argent Dawn rewards that are brought about by getting insignias of the Dawn or insignias of the Scarlet Crusade. Well, I decided I was going to see how easy it was to get these, and I found that it's not easy at all, actually. The bone fragment drop rate is crap. Although it seems to have improved a little bit, they might have put out a little hot fix recently and I didn't see it. Because when I was running instances, you know, they said, hey, run Stratholme, run Scholomance, we'll get more bone fragments and Cryptcrawler parts. And, you know, my first, let's see, I did two runs of Stratholme, got a total of seven Cryptcrawler parts. I got four Cryptcrawler parts and seven bone fragments out of that entire run. Meanwhile, I had already collected like 13 or so from outside of those instances. But when I went last night, I did collect about six or seven Cryptcrawler parts and Scholomance, and maybe four or five bone fragments off of one mob. So it is possible that they put a fix out. I will say it's still going to take quite a long time in order to get these items that are coming from the Argent Dawn. The two main items I'm looking forward to, of course, are the 18-slot bag. Who wouldn't be looking forward to another 18-slot bag? And the leather healing helm, which has plus 7 more healing than my current helm, even though I'll still keep my current helm because it'll be really useful in AQ because it's got nature resistance on it. So, I don't know. Let me know how you guys are doing with that, because honestly, I'm finding that this is going to take forever. The only nice thing, though, is for the Scourge Invasion, when you can get, like, your guild down there to just destroy an entire area, you can get a lot of rep for the people who don't yet have their revered rep with the Argent Dawn. Each of the Shadows of Doom, as they're called, the level 60 elites that you have to kill to destroy the crystal, are worth 50 rep if you're revered, so I'm not sure how much they're worth if you're honored. And you get these things called necrotic runes from looting the bodies. Nice thing is you can get Gloves of Undead Slaying if you collect 30 of these runes and take it to one of the Argent Quartermasters. You take it to him, and one of the quests is called Gloves of the Dawn. Turn in 30, you're able to choose cloth, leather, mail, or plate gloves that are part of a three-piece set. You get the bracers, which are bind on equip, by killing the named abominations that spawn around the crystals every now and then. They'll drop the bracers of whichever armor type. And then the chest pieces, which are bind on pickup, are dropped from the Shadows of Doom, along with 30 necrotic runes right off of them. So they're pretty nice. Let's see, the cloth ones give you a bunch of plus spell damage. The leather ones, okay, they're really meant more for rogues and or feral druids, because they're all just plus attack power versus undead, and then the mail and plate are all plus attack power versus undead. So shamans who use spells kind of get the shaft, and druids who use spells kind of get the shaft. But whatever, it's still kind of nice. There is the three-piece set bonus, however, which is 2% damage to undead, or an extra 2% damage to undead. So if you do 100, you're going to do 102. Doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, on a nice crit, you might get quite a bit of damage out of them. So that, hopefully, that'll be helping when it comes to doing, like, the 45-minute runs for people, or if you just want to run Stratholme for fun and do it quick, whatever. The event has been going on for a week already, and it's still not over, so that's kind of cool. You have to go talk to these dudes in the major cities, and they'll tell you stuff. When the event first started, it was like, oh, we have defeated 15 necropoli. However, this war is far from over. You know, now they're more to the point of saying, well, while there's many battles to come, when we've got like 100 or so destroyed, you know, heroes are rising up. And apparently now they've started saying something different. So it looks like the event is winding down. So, get them in while you can. Remember, you can also turn in necrotic runes for other things. You can turn them in for those undead destroying sharpening stones, which give your weapons like plus 100 attack power versus undead. Or the spell oil that you put on your weapons for spellcasters, which increases your damage against undead by, I think, 40? Maybe more, I don't remember. So that's pretty cool. Also, not really related to the invasion, but go run Scarlet Monastery. The Tabard of the Scarlet Dawn has been re-implemented into the game. All you have to do, go to the armory and kill Herod. And then, you know, that swarm of, you know, quote, level 30s who all die from, like, thorns. They'll come out, and they can drop it. It's a bind-on pickup item, but it's the Tabard of the Scarlet Crusade. I've already bought my Tabard of the Argent Dawn from the Argent Dawn using 15 necrotic runes. So I plan on going to Scarlet Monastery probably in the next day or two and just farming the hell out of it to get my Tabard of the Scarlet Crusade. Because I will have all three tabards. Oh yes, I will. My guild tabard, the Tabard of the Scarlet Crusade, and the Tabard of the Argent Dawn. Because I rock just that much. Sticking with the whole undead theme though, one of the bugs starts popping up. Undead Strat is horribly bugged right now. It might honestly be extremely hard for people to try to do that 45-minute run, even with people decked out in like Tier 2 or AQ40 gear. Sometimes you go and you pull one mob, and suddenly like 8 mobs come and just freaking attack. There was twice. Once on, I think it was Sunday night, once on Monday night, we pulled the first Banshee in Undead, and suddenly 3 bats came over, or 3 gargoyles, we just call them bats when we're playing, you know, 3 gargoyles came over, the 3 ghouls over to the right by the lamppost pulled, 2 crypt crawlers pulled. It was like, what the hell is this? Then there was another time we didn't get that. So I was like, okay, so we're going. We're trying for the 45-minute run for one of the guys in the guild. And I'm main tanking because we didn't really have a warrior. So, you know, Resto Druid in tank gear for the win. But we're going. And, you know, we're going okay. Then we get to the Crypt Crawler. Not the one right next to the Crypt Crawler boss, but the one before him that's near that that Wailing Banshee. And he moves away from me while I'm tanking, like constantly moving away. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So I'm following him, trying to keep him, you know, doing my damage, whatever. He aggroes, and he's not even going near the other group. You know, that group of humanoids right next to Nebu, whatever the fuck his name is. He aggroes them, aggroes the Banshee, and we fucking wipe because now we've got those damn necromancers that, you know, life tap you the whole time. You've got this damn crypt crawler that's going around and just fucking walking away from the tank. We, you know, you don't need that. Hello. So you got to watch out if you're going in there and you're experiencing bugs. And it's not listed as an official bug, so I don't know how quick they're going to be to fix that. But Stratholme, it seems pretty bugged, at least the undead side. I should also note, however, that 2 new bosses have been added to Stratholme and Scalamance, 1 in each. The one in Scalamance is a giant skeleton with a bow, who most often appears right in like the room right before the Whelplings. So your best bet for him to get him away from all the other groups is pull him and then run into the room where you had all the summoners and shit. And so he can't line of sight, so he can't shoot his bow until he gets to the doorway at least. And then there's a lich that has been added into Stratholme on the live side. Well, it's like that courtyard right between live and undead. So what you do with him is he's just in that courtyard, sometimes where that other rare spawn boss would be. And he's pretty cool because he drops 2 Scourge Stones, as well as a really nice staff that has like +1%. It's either hit or crit with spells, I can't remember. And +29 damage with spells. It's got that cool black glow like a lot of shit from ZG has. So it looks pretty cool. I forget, we got like a nice, I think it was a shield off of the skeleton boss in Scalamance, which we gave to the paladin on the run, who was like main tanking as well. But that turned out to be pretty cool. However, I have noticed that the lich guy is not always spawning. People were going into undead and farming him, And I was like, okay, well, we'll go in undead, we'll kill the first two groups, then we'll head over to the courtyard, and we're going to farm this dude. He's got some cool shit. But he doesn't always appear. So I don't know if maybe he has different spawn points in Scarlet, or if they decided to change it so that he won't appear unless you come in through the Scarlet side, or Living side, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. You know, I killed him once, it was pretty neat. We gave that staff to one of the mages, they were like, "Wee!" You know, two Scourge Stones, can't go wrong. It's rep. What are you going to do? So, oh, and all of the abominations in Living Strat, the Scarlet side, have been buffed with a poison AoE. Like a poison cloud around them that they didn't have before. I don't know if this is just for the duration or of the Scourge invasion, or if it's going to be more permanent, but I'm sure we'll find out at one point. So, you know, let's see what goes on. I believe these bosses are only here for the invasion. I do not know for certain. If we're lucky, they're going to stick around, because that'll be really cool shit for people. You know, I'd love to go into some of the other bugs, because there are a good amount of bugs, but unfortunately Blizzard's forums are down yet again. So I can't really go check and see which bugs there are. One I do remember, though, affects Feral Druids. If you have the Heart of the Wild talent, you get the 20% bonus to stamina. However, instead of the 20% bonus hit points being added to you when you switch to bear, you lose 20% of the hit points that you had in caster form when you switch to bear. It is entirely possible to get yourself down to one hit point just shifting in and out of bear if you are a Feral Druid. Please watch out for this. It's kind of a pain in the ass. It's pretty game-breaking for Feral Druids. So, that's like a big bug that I can think of. There is another bug now with the Onyxia Key quest, which I guess we shouldn't be too surprised about for Alliance, because the Onyxia Key quest has been bugged on the Alliance side for a good amount of time now. When Marshall Windsor goes in and confronts Onyxia, you know, before it would be like she'd yell and then nothing would happen, but you could drop the quest, wait for him to despawn, and then go back to the gates and get it again. Now, however, apparently you can't drop and re-accept the quest. It just doesn't do anything. And the Blizzard developers are saying, well, it's because when the Scourge attacked the keep, High Warlord, whatever the fuck his name is, that dude in there who actually ends up fighting all the dragons during the Scourge invasion, gets put into combat and never leaves combat. As such, the quest remains bugged for a long time. You can't reset it. And the bug now is, instead of, you know, her saying guard sees him and then, like, you know, laughing when he says Lady Onyxia, he doesn't do anything. Now he turns her into Onyxia and everyone just stands there. Joy. So that's another pretty big bug. I'm actually kind of surprised that's not been, you know, hotfixed ASAP, because, you know, it gets people into a 40-man raid, and we all know how Kaplan wants to have everyone doing 40-man raids and nothing else. So, I don't know. There are some other bugs out there, obviously, but without my access to the forums to look at the post that has some of the major bugs listed, I can't really go into them. I mean, there's obviously that Strathom bug I just mentioned where, like, the chain aggro and, like, you know, the whole fucking instance pulls with one mob. But other than that, I don't know what other bugs there are now, because I can't access Blizzard's goddamn forums. Good game, Blizzard. Well, I guess we should be happy they got the beta forums up, right? Yeah. And now for the part I'm sure you've all been waiting for, the rant. As you all know, Blizzard has decided that instead of implementing an actual looking for group system, which is what people have been asking for a year and a half, they've decided to take the looking for group channel and make it global. This is the worst fucking idea that has ever come out of any company, ever. This is like the Baron's chat, if you've ever played a Horde character and gone into Baron's. This is like the Baron's chat on fucking crack, steroids, and amphetamines at the same time. this is the worst shit ever. Within 10 minutes of logging in on my main, I left that channel and will never go back to that channel again. I am tired of seeing fucking Chuck Norris jokes. I am tired of seeing fucking Vin Diesel jokes. There are people that have actually made characters specifically just to speak on there. Oh, it's not my main. You can't, you know, I don't care if you get this character banned, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, fuck them. All right? It's not the new, you know, world general chat channel. This has got to be the biggest fucking blunder ever. I cannot believe that they actually thought this would be a good idea. We know the caliber of a lot of players on World of Warcraft, and we know that a lot of them are complete and utter morons. And they're going to use anything they can get to make sure that everyone gets to know just how big of a moron they are. And this new Global Looking for Group channel is doing just that. You know, you get people spamming it. You get people just, oh, you know, you know, Chuck Norris does this and Vin Diesel does that. It's like, dude, fuck you. Shut up. I don't give a shit about your stupid Chuck Norris and Vin Diesel jokes. And, you know, you have it in instances, you have it anywhere. It's fucking annoying. It was fine when it was in the cities, because then people would use it to look for groups. Now you get, you know, you can't follow when people are looking for groups, because there's so much fucking spam in there that the channel moves so goddamn fast that if you don't have a separate window for your guild chat, or have left the channel by typing /leave4, which is what I did, you will never see your guild chat again. You will never see your party chat again. You will never see your raid chat again. You know, you will never see your whispers again because of all these fucking morons out there. Worst idea ever. Okay? People did not ask for a Global Looking for Group channel. People asked for a working Looking for Group system. Now, on my forums, I have placed a post with a link to a picture that somebody mocked up in freaking MS Paint. And it was like this godlike Looking for Group system. It's like, you could implement this. This would work great. It looked like it fit in World of Warcraft. It looked like it was absolutely perfect. You saw available groups. You could choose your level range, stuff like that. Boom. No problem. You know, I don't need to see when I'm a level 60 Looking for Group dead mines. You know, when I'm in fucking Zul'Gurub or Molten Core or Stratholm or just out farming, okay? And I don't need to see, oh, Chuck Norris crits you for 8 million damage, you know, like, fuck you. Fuck that. Blizzard, make a real Looking for Group system. Don't fucking destroy any semblance of sanity that was in the goddamn game by making it, like, the Baron's chat times a billion. We don't need that. We really don't. Alliance doesn't need it. Horde doesn't need it. Guilds don't need it, okay? Look, if you're in a good guild and you can get guild groups going all the time, which is what I do, I don't do pickup groups anymore. I just do everything with my guild. If my guild needs help, I'm there. If I need help, they're there. That's my Looking for Group channel. My /G, anyone want to help me with this, or /G, anybody need help? Okay? That's my fucking Looking for Group channel. Because the new worldwide Looking for Group channel is the worst idea ever, and I really, really hope whoever fucking decided that that was going to be the best way to implement a Looking for Group system gets dragged outside, shot in both eyeballs, raped by a rabid cow, and then tarred and feathered, and then shot again. Because that's about the only punishment I can think of that's deserving. Whoever did this was smoking so much fucking crack that it seemed like a good idea. I don't care who it was. I don't care if it was a team. Kill them all. Fire them. Kill them all. They don't need to be there. They obviously have no clue as to what the hell people actually wanted when they were doing this. Because this is the worst thing. And, you know, Aeonix came on the forums. Oh, well, it will die down. It hasn't died down. Once the novelty wears off, the novelty will never wear off. It never wore off on the fucking test servers where people were going, oh, fucking nigger this, fucking nigger that, because there's no GMs here and we can say whatever we want. You know? Ugh. Ugh, God, it just makes me so mad. I literally want to go to Blizzard and fucking blowtorch the eyeballs out of these people who thought this idea was going to be good. I really do. And I want to keep them alive after that for a while so I can torture them more. The fucking worldwide looking for group channel is the worst thing in this game ever. And I hope you have enjoyed this little rant. I'm going to quit it now before I actually, like, physically destroy my laptop here. And that costs me money, and I don't want to do that. Some other problems. There have been massive lag on some servers. I guess this is to be expected. But, you know, some of the instant servers have been crashing. That was wonderful. I'm taking some guildies through to get them their Dungeon 0, or their Dungeon 1 set, you know, their Tier 0, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And, you know, we down drag. It's like, okay, Beastalkers. Okay, one of the hunters, grats. Goes to pick it up. Instant server crashes. When it lets me back in, I'm right in front of Drac, who has respawned, and he fucking kills me in 2 shots, because I was not even fully loaded by the time he started hitting me. We're in the middle of trying to get him his item, and the Painweaver band dropped, and one of the rogues won that, and I want them to get that. I really do. So, I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know, you know, they're going on about, they've had to do rolling restarts. Yeah, we noticed. People were getting a restart, you know, thing. They were in the middle of a big raid. Suddenly, server restart in 15 minutes. Then server restart 5 minutes, like 10 seconds later. And then the server just restarts, which is not what people needed. I don't know what happened there. They did something and they fucked something up majorly with, I don't know if it's the patch or if their servers just decided to explode or what. But the lag in some cases has become unbearable. We're in the middle of ZG on Friday night, and, you know, we're on the easiest boss that we've taken down a few times now. And it took us 3 fucking times to take him down, because 2 of our mages kept lagging out, and our main tank lagged and stood inside the poison gas for long enough for him to die and shit like that. And it's like, what is this? Fix the damn servers, for God's sake. I don't know how this company gets away with it in some ways. I really don't. That shit that they're able to pull off and get away with. But, you know, people are complaining about it. There's, you know, all sorts of crazy shit going on that really just starts to piss you off. And it makes you say, gee, I don't feel like playing today. So I'm kind of glad I had my doctor's appointment today and had to re-record this, because I didn't get to play today. And I didn't get to deal with the fucking problems that the game is having. Although I will say, compared to 1.9, this patch came off relatively without a hitch. Yes, there's bugs. Yes, there's problems. But nothing along the scope of how game-breaking patch 1.9 was when that came out. That was honestly the worst patch that ever came out. This time we just get the worst idea ever, you know. Hey, Chuck Norris crits you for 8 billion, you die! Wish I could come over there and crit that fucker for a fucking blowtorch to the face. Anyway, moving on. Let's start talking about some of the more positive things, shall we? So, like I said, we're going to move on to some more positive things right now. One of the more positive things, for those people who are able to run Zul'Gurub, remember I mentioned that they said they significantly reduced the hit points of the speakers before certain bosses. That would be the speaker before Vanoxus, the speaker before Marley, and the speaker before, what the fuck's his name? Bloodlord Mandicure. They were not joking. Jesus Christ, those guys went down in like 2 seconds. They have like 1,500 hit points max. A freaking rogue could ambush them and kill them. I was absolutely mortified at how fast they went down when I took my guild for their second week in ZG. So, wow. Marley, no more resetting Marley. I'm just going to freaking say, Hunter, aim shot the damn speaker. And that'll be it. So, that's a good change. Also, the priests now have begun dropping 2 items with each kill, which is always nice. I never understood why they only dropped 1 item, and yet you can get to Drac, who is a 10-man raid boss, and he drops like 4. Or you can get to the Baron in Undead Strat, who is a 5-man boss now and will never be able to be 10-manned again, and he drops like 4 items as well. And of course you go to Molten Core and they drop 5 items and shit like that. I never understood why the 20-man raid bosses dropped 1 item. That to me was just absolutely idiotic. 1 equipable item, I should say. They always drop their Primal Hikari as well. So that's been helping. On a side note, I'm very proud of the way my new guild is progressing through Zul'Gurub. This is not something I often do, but I think that this should be noted because they've really, really made me proud. I took him in last Friday for the first time. We killed 2 bosses the first night. I was pretty happy. Took us 1 or 2 times each time, but we did it. Then that Saturday, we went up and we killed the Bloodlord. Second attempt, downed him. I was like, wow, really nice. I mean, it took us a while when I was doing it before to get the Bloodlord down. And we didn't do the behind the spears trick that one of the guys who was not in our guild recommended. Oh, let's just hide behind the spears. And it's like, no, I want these guys to learn how to do it the right way. So we're going to do it the right way. And we did. So then we go back Sunday, 1 shot, Vinoxus and Jeklik. Again, very happy. This shows that they were learning. They were willing to learn. And they were ready to get it done. And you got to realize that 80% of the people on this raid have had no prior Zul'Gurub experience at all. Then this past Friday comes up. This is after the patch, so we've got the lag. It took us 3 attempts to down Vinoxus. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, there were the problems. I think we just had an off night. We did 1-shot Jeklik, however. So then we skipped Saturday. We didn't get enough people on. People had weddings to go to and some other shit. So, okay. We go in Sunday. And we had a lot of fun. Jeklik and Vinoxus both went down within the first 2 hours. I was very happy. I'm very, very proud of these people in my guild who are willing to listen and learn. And they're having fun. We also went and we killed the Bloodlord the same night. So that's 3 out of 8 bosses. Let's see. 5 priests, Hikar, Bloodlord, Jindo, and then, of course, the Fish boss and the Edge of Madness bosses, but I'm not going after them for a little while. So, out of 8 main bosses, 2 of which are optional, Bloodlord and Jindo, in just 5 days of running, they've been able to one-shot now 3 of them. We one-shotted the Bloodlord, we one-shotted Vinoxus, we one-shotted Jeklik, all on Sunday. Now, granted, I've been doing Zul'Gurub for a while, but most of these people haven't. So for them to be able to do this and listen and learn, and they're not getting discouraged when we wipe. If we wiped on anything, it was like, oh, dude, we got this. Let's go. You know, that's great. I'm loving these people in my new guild. You know, I have the most experience, except for 1 or 2, with the end game raids. But these guys are willing to learn, and once we get enough 60s up that are going to be consistently on, I think we're going to make some pretty good progress in Molten Core really quickly. And I really hope so. You know, we're only doing raiding 3 days a week, Friday through Sunday, but people are having fun with it. I'm not going to turn us into the hardcore Uber, you know, ooh, got to raid every night. Oh, if you don't make 75% of your fucking raids, you're kicked from the guild. I'm not doing any of that shit. You know, you have to spec this way. No. So I'm just saying this because I'm really proud of these guys, and I think they deserve it. That the fact that they've done so well in such a short amount of time really makes me happy and really makes me proud and really says, hey, we're going to get these guys geared up pretty quick from ZG, and then we're going to move on to Molten Core and AQ20 and get people new spell books and get people their tier 1, and everyone's going to have a good time, and we're just going to learn, and we're going to go. And you can't ask for much more, you know, unless you want to go join a guild with Blackwing Lair on farm status so you can go in there in greens and get your tier 2. So, I just wanted to mention that because that brings joy to my heart. Some of the other positives, there are 2 new flight paths added. I don't remember if I mentioned this in the Test Realm show or not. 1 in Ratchet and 1 in Un'Goro. The Ratchet one is for both Horde and Alliance. Some Horde were complaining, oh, you're going to be able to just amass an army there. It's like, what? And it was hard to go to freaking Booty Bay and take the damn boat. That was even easier than flying all around Kalimdor to get there. So that's pretty nice. With the some of the things that you can get for the Argent Dawn of Scarlet Crusade in Un'Goro, having a flight point there is pretty nice. I still have to actually go and get both of them with all of my characters because I'm lazy or something. So, I mean, I haven't gone and done them yet, but I will. And I'll get there and I'll be like, yay, I have flight points now, you know, and then I'll run there with like my level 20s and be like, huffing it through the barons. There, finally. So, that's another positive. I'm trying to think. I don't know, like, a lot of the stuff that would be positive for the game I talked about in the public test realm show. I mean, I sat there with, I talked about, like, the raid stuff. That's actually been a big help. I just tell the raid we're going to kill in this order, and I put the icons over it, and they just focus fire, and boom, it's done. The raid warning channel, that's been a little bit of a help. I don't know. Not much more positive to say that I didn't mention that was positive in the public test realm show. But I will say this, please, if you use modifications and UI add-ons, make sure to go check and see if they've been updated. The public test realms were up for a long time. CT mod's been updated. CT raid assist has been updated. There is a little problem with CT raid assist right now. The main tanks keep disappearing off the window for some reason. I don't know why. That'll hopefully be fixed in a couple days. Let's see what else. There's the key ring. I don't know if I remember if I mentioned the key ring in my public test realm show. And what the key ring does is you get a key and it goes into your key ring. Woohoo! Now you don't have to worry about taking up bag space and inventory space and, you know, just generally I can't get rid of this key space for certain keys. Not every key works. Like the coffer realm or the coffer keys for Blackrock Depths do not work. Blacksmith keys do not go in there. But keys like the Crescent Key, the Scarlet Key, the Skeleton Key, Key to the City, they all go in there. The workshop key goes in there. So it's pretty nice. It frees up some bag space. It shows up right between your latency bar and your last bag slot. You just click it and it makes a little ching sound and it opens up and it's right there. All you got to do for your keys that are currently in your inventory to put them in there, you don't even have to open it. You just have to right click on the key. So that's kind of nice. So I'm pretty happy with that. Yeah, you know, there's not really much more positive to say that I didn't mention that was positive in the public test realm show. So, you know, this show was just more of what happened when it came out, everything else like that. You know, some of the bugs, my nice rant on that, you know, global looking for Chuck Norris channel, that sort of shit. And that's pretty much where I'm going to have to end this. I will try to get the next show out within about 2 weeks, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, depends on my health status at the time and everything else like that. So, until then, I'm Sam. Have fun in your game.